Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for all audiences. So tell your friends, tell your family, tell your loved ones, tell your hated ones, tell even your mortal enemies about this. This is an important show. You are listening to Cocooning from the Microphone. I am co-host DJ Butterfly Feces. I'm the host. I'm the man himself. On the other side of this line is the one and only, except no substitutions, Comedy Organic OK.
Yes. Comedy Organic OK is the approach to my words. Understand those. Now, everyone out there, let's give a welcoming round of supporting or understanding, and become more organic to understand this guy named DJ Butterfly Feces. You're trying to come around to understand this, and you've been there before. Maybe you have understand this guy here. I don't know.
All right, it is 7:01. You are listening to Kakuna from the Microphone. Don't just listen. Talk. Call in. Please let us know what's going on with you. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. All right. Now, should I basically tell you my story again, how it began? I was a kid. I had spent most of my life in McKinleyville, California. McKinleyville, where horses have the right of way. I had lived there.
I understand, but you don't ride horses, huh? You ride horses?
I have ridden horses there. I did everything there was to do in McKinleyville. I mean everything, everything there was.
Okay. In the back of me, you said everything. It's something that we need to know about you. We should be flagging you off. You said everything. That's too many everything.
We got a lot going on in McKinleyville.
Yeah, but some things I don't think I want to be a part of. And sometimes, you know, they look on a small town kind of point of view when they do things can be a little bit, you know what I mean? But those out there are clear from being the contamination. That is important. But when your life fills with the people that's contaminating your infrastructure, that's a whole nother thing. A whole nother thing, a whole nother experience. Now, he talking about McKinleyville. Now, I've been there partially to McKinleyville, and I have not met every person that's from McKinleyville, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can say that. I have not met every person from McKinleyville.
At least you're open and honest enough about me. You haven't seen that much of the world yet before you make your assumption.
Makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. So, but the thing that I noticed is how propaganda have a lot of marketing strategy and have something to really pleasurize your peace of mind. That's what I know. Pleasurizing my peace of mind does not fulfill my desires, Mr. DJ Butterfly Feces, that's all I have to say. As you were saying, I don't mean to interrupt your program. Go ahead. I'm listening.
All right. I did everything there was to do in McKinleyville, California, ever since I was, I'd ridden horseback. I'd ridden bikes, skateboards. I walked the trail. You know, McKinleyville's in Northern California where it snows. So I sledded, skied, snowboarded, tobogganed. I did everything. I did everything there was to do there. I spent most of my life doing that. One thing I really didn't do there was, I think I didn't really make enough of a thought about what I was going to do for my adult life and future and career. I didn't really what you'd call plan really for the future. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, I did all the stuff there was to do there, and pride myself on being in such a town where it all went on. But I didn't really basically think about what I was going to do. See, I thought I was going to basically just coast through life, you know. I'd be an average guy, I'll do any job, whatever, as long as I can stop and smell the roses and enjoy what the town really had to offer. You know? I mean, in school, I was an average kid, I was an average guy. I just coasted, easy going, whatever. the C-minus student, the guy who basically just did, well, what was necessary. Never really tried to do anything special, you know, like, you know, I'm talking about, like, really achieve. I never tried to do that. I thought a lot about it. What happened was, I really didn't basically think about the future once again. I mean, I did basically everything there was to do there, except really something really great. I didn't think about a major. When high school graduation time came around, I didn't even think really about college. I didn't go. My family didn't exactly, well, have the money, really. So I just sat there in my bedroom in my parents' place, you know. Now, one thing I did was I had for a while my own blog talk radio show, not like this one. And I wasn't like a DJ spinning discs. I was a guy who was basically using the radio for the best format it is, you know. Those people who want to talk about what's wrong with the world today, it would be a better place if we just, that's what I did, you know. It was tricky learning how to do this thing, but let me tell you something. I don't think anybody was listening. I asked some people I knew to listen. I asked them. I really asked them, but I don't even think they know how. It's not like regular radio where you just, you know, turn on in the car or whatever. How do you listen to blog talk radio? I still don't know even to this day. I'm going to admit that. I don't know. There I was coasting by, once again, doing the bare minimum, whatever. My parents told me about my future. Thought about a job, a place of my own, but you got to understand, McKinleyville is so nice. There is so much really going on. There's so much. It's so nice. I'm sorry, are you trying to say something?
Yeah, so people have Bluetooth.
Thank you. But even though, once again, they talked about me getting my own place, having my own job, but the problem was there was nothing available. You got to understand, McKinleyville is such a cozy town with so much going on that nobody really wanted to leave. There weren't any places available, and there weren't any work. Everything was booked. Everything was stopped up. Dang. I thought it was without means. So I just sat there in my room in my parents' home for some time then. Until one day, sometime around the holidays actually, they finally said, "You've been here too long." They let me stay as long as they did because otherwise they'd have to talk to each other. You know that personal time you have when your kids are all grown up and they leave and now you're thinking, now you can do whatever, you don't have to be parents anymore. My parents weren't looking forward to that at all. The thing is, they had nothing to say to each other or do. They mostly just stayed together because it didn't seem like there was any kind of health or whatever. That's the truth. They let me stay as long as they did because otherwise I have to talk to each other. And they didn't want to do that. But they didn't want to talk to me that enough, so finally I left. Nothing but the clothes on my back and a backpack that was even half full. I walked out of the house. Now, let me tell you something. It's a hell of a thing, you know, when you're actually kind of homeless for the first time. I mean, when it doesn't quite hit you at first, you know, when you've just been kicked out of your home, you're still in shock, you're still thinking, what am I going to do? I'm not one of them, am I? I'm not one of those people on the streets. You keep saying something will pick up, and my parents will come to their senses and let me back in. They're not actually going to put me on the streets. Come on. But dang, it sunk in. I was a vagrant. I was homeless. I started walking through town, walking to and down the old creek and whatever, down the trail. So I'm walking down Hammond Trail, and then I came across the picnic site, and I happened to notice there were some people there. There were people there. There was Organic and Company. There you were, and, you know, Organic, there you were, and there the whole gang was.
So I stopped by. I didn't know who you guys were. I was a little hesitant. I thought I knew everybody in town, but I stopped to say hello. I stopped to say, how are you doing? I stopped to say, could you help me? I mean, at first, I don't think they could. I mean, I remember there you were. There I was. We sat around and talked. You told me about your expedition. You were traveling the world, picking up garbage off the streets, and trying to help the homeless, get them off of it. Because homelessness is a big problem in America, especially, but this problem is now rampant throughout the world. Too many people, some thrown out like so much garbage. Dang. And I asked, can I join? I asked, you do something. Can I sit down and eat with you? Just talk to you. He said yes, and you also invited me to join you on your expedition. He asked me to join you on your expedition. And I wanted to. I wanted to be one of you. You said I could basically join the resistance. You asked me to get down on one knee. I did. You touched me on the shoulder with two fingers and dubbed me DJ Butterfly Feet.
Hey, man, I told you about this getting on down on one knee. I don't care what culture do all this in movies. I don't have people get down on one knee. Stop getting me into some with sexual comedy adventure that I don't venture with men and stop it. Whatever you're doing, just stop it. Just stop it.
I was dubbed DJ Butterfly Feces. We talked, and then basically, later on, we went. We left the country. We were abroad. We went all the way to Vicenza, Italy. Vicenza, Italy, for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And let me tell you something. I was in shock. I couldn't believe I was being taken aboard. I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. See, here's the thing. We were there for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Let me tell you, Italy was different, you know. A lot more cultural, a lot more beautiful. The cuisine was to die for. No, never, whatever. Once again, picked up garbage and tried to get a few people off the street. Because they got the same capitalism problem that America's got. Whatever. We're doing all that. Now, if you've been following our show, you should be. You should know that now we were in Nairobi, Kenya, Africa. Now, I had some preconceived notions about Africa before we showed up. I really did. I was nervous and scared about whatever. I mean, because, you know, when I was thinking Africa, I was thinking wild jungle Serengeti and all that. It wasn't like that at all. There was a major city. I wouldn't call it a third world country, but I'll tell you one thing. That's sort of where we ended up. We were in the homeless district, and it was just filthy there. It was absolutely filthy. There was garbage all over the place and people who didn't have a place to stay. Now, we all picked up garbage. We were building shacks for them. We were helping trying to build up there, whatever. But I got to tell you something. It was all getting to me. Now, you remember, I did nothing but complain pretty much the whole time because I hated to do so, but come on. The heat, the stink, it was all getting to me. It was all getting to me. It was all too much for me. It was too filthy. And you told me to stop and think about people who actually live there. What about them? Look what they were going through. I mean, dang. At one point, I think I passed out from the heat. Whatever. But you know what? I toiled. I suffered. I helped them build the shacks. I helped build little shelters for them and whatever. And you know what? These things didn't look like real homes, like they were going to stand up under, you know, the real elements or whatever. Thankfully, it didn't snow here. But dang. It's 15 minutes after the hour here on the program, 7:15 here on the program, cocooning from the microphone here. Tell us what's going on with you, all right? Tell us what you're all about. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. Once again, I was still upset. I was still consumed. I tried to remind myself, think about the basically the people that died here, the people that do die here, the people who are basically living like this. Can you even call this a life? I had to do something. I had to do something for real. Dang. I basically tried to endure myself, and I said, I'm not going to complain no more. You remember all the complaining I did, right? Remember, I was bawling. Dang. But really, not a pleasant environment. There are some cities, I guess, that are a little nicer to be homeless in. I wanted to basically take some of them with us, but then I thought they'd be able to get citizenship. They don't speak the lingo. I mean, not everyone. The whole world does not speak English. Now, there are some places where those that are American are really hated and all that. Personally, whatever. They seem grateful, you know. They seem grateful for what we're doing for them. They shook our hands and whatever, and they smiled, and they said whatever in their native tongue, even though I didn't understand a word of it. Finally, as I was making this one last shack, and I was helped build it, there was this girl who was especially grateful. After it was over, she ran over there to hug me and kiss me on the lips. And she smiled at me for a moment. I thought, is there something there? Is she really trying to show her gratitude, or is something stirring here? I was perplexed. I don't know what. I basically just tried to keep going or whatever, but really the thought of that girl just kept getting to me. I don't want to go too far because it's going to be one of those situations where, you know, you think she's basically being so nice to it, but then when you try and go for it, everyone's ready to basically scream at you and call you a sexual animal, a beast. They're going to slap you with a sexual harassment suit and all that. But then I thought, this ain't America. There ain't all that fascism here. There ain't none of that. I don't know what to do. I don't. I basically thought, okay, I'm just going to help. I'm just going to keep helping, trying to do more over here. God damn it, there's still a lot to do. Look at all there is still trash lying around. I mean, dear God, it seemed like the garbage would not end. All I wanted to do was leave, but we had to keep in mind here, we're here for a reason. We got to stay here a lot longer because they really need our help. Ah. Man, I was just bewildered, really. So I basically just decided, just keep helping. It'll all even out. I couldn't stop thinking about the girl that gave me the kiss that night. As we sat down basically, and one of them had made a fire or whatever they're cooking, I thought, dang, is there something there? I went over to basically that girl. I went to her and I waved hello to her. And she looked at me and she smiled. I tried to tell her in my own native English tongue. I didn't speak a word of Afrikaans. I didn't, but that was nice. She was nice. There was something special there. And I wanted it. I wanted it with her. We could be together. We could do something special. I think she understood. I think she did. we basically started spending time together. I just sat down there and held her hand. You know, I know most guys don't want to talk. They especially don't want to listen. But I wish I could carry a conversation with her. I wish we could speak to one another. I wanted to basically think that we could have, could we have a kind of relationship where we don't even need to share words? We can just be together. Something there. Something special. I just looked at her and I basically remember just feeling, I don't know, like I just wanted to be with her. I don't know if I could survive here, but dang it, you know, I might actually try for her. We could stay in that shack of hers. I thought maybe she could come along with us. But I think she had a family here. Dang. All these feelings were consuming me. They drove me nuts. All I wanted was her. All I needed was her. I wanted to just I just wanted to basically stay there with her, in her arms. I tried going into organic, man. I told him all about this woman that I had met, this special lady whose shack I had built. Organic, you remember what you told me? You told me I shouldn't basically try to go too nuts. I mean, I started a relationship with somebody. I was trying to. We didn't share a word. We didn't speak a word. How could we communicate? I met a few vagrant women here on the streets, whatever, and gotten to know them. And there almost was something. But I needed to know that, how is it going to work out? We're not here to stay. We're going to be gone at some point. We're going to go. We're going to break. It ain't going to last. I need to realize that basically the levee's going to break. Dang. I wanted her. I wanted to stay. You know what? For her, I was going to stay a little longer. That's it. I decided, you know what? I'm willing to stay a little longer just to be with her. I'll build the shack. I'll pick up the trash. I will help the homeless. I will help, especially. I will help. You know why? For her. She was my reason for being. She was my reason. She's what I needed. She was all I needed. All right. I was going to basically be with her. No matter what. It doesn't matter if we can't say a word of it. English. Doesn't matter, we can't speak a word. I basically stood there and I just sat with her and just held her hand. We looked into each other's eyes. And dang it, I'm telling you, I saw a future. I saw something there. I saw a woman I wanted to be with. A woman I could honestly love. Somebody I could swear allegiance to forever. My dad said, most of us get married because we just need somebody to be with, someone to share everything with. But sometimes it just doesn't really work because, well, being tied down to any one other person just gets to be too much. And really, it's just not the way it needs to be. we need to change. We need to basically man basically gets a wife, his job, as far as she's concerned, is to always do what she wants. You got to do right by your wife. But more than anything, you got to do whatever she wants of you. It's something we have to do. Even if, I mean, you need love in life. Dang it, he was right. He was. As I looked in her eyes, still holding her hand, I knew it wasn't going to last. But I also knew it didn't have to. It's okay. It's okay. I just wanted to basically stay. I was just going to stay here. Stay with her. At one point, Gannick told me to knock it off. He basically said, dude, it ain't going to last, okay? And then goes, you got to help, okay? Help me pick up trash. Pick up the garbage. Pick up the dang garbage, okay? Help build shacks and whatever. Crazy, man. Trying to have a romance here. Someone you can't even talk to. I was upset, but I knew it was true. I knew it. You gotta understand, once again, she didn't speak a word of English. I didn't speak a word of Afrikaans. We were only there for a little while to help. I mean, how is this gonna work out? How is this? Are we gonna have a relationship? I basically went over to her place and started picking up garbage, just a little. I started basically cleaning, making sure her shack was nice, her shack was a little cleaner. I picked up garbage. I wanted to ask her to join me. But I felt like she wouldn't love me as much. Not really. If I didn't, basically, if I asked her to help. You've been listening to Kakuna for the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces here. The one and only, except no substitutions. All right. Now, we're going to pick this up tomorrow. I'm going to tell you the rest of personally what had happened. What had happened. Now, all that. Please, you can pick up all our shows on the web. And when we're on the air, call us in. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. It is all about what we are about, the show in general. Right. Check us out. We're on the web. We're all over the net. We're fighting for the greater cause. Thank you for listening. Thank you, and good night.